Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Tech News Today for Monday, December 19th, 2011. Tech News Today is brought to you by Ford, featuring Wi-Fi connectivity with available sync and My Ford Touch. Now your car can be a Wi-Fi hotspot. Check it out in the new 2012 Ford Focus and at Ford.com/technology. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Tom Merritt.
I'm Sarah Lane.
I'm Maya Zaktar.
And I'm Jason Howell.
And this is the show we kick around the tech news of the day, try to make some sense of it all. Joining us from All Things D, Lauren Good. Welcome to the show, Lauren.
Hey, Lauren.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you. Now, Lauren, you're kind of the newest member of All Things D. You're covering consumer electronics there. You enjoying it?
I am enjoying it. Fortunately, the hazing period is almost over. So I've been there about 2 weeks now, and Walt and Kara are starting to take it a little easy on me. So
Walt stopped giving you swirlies. Kara didn't lock you in your locker anymore. All that's over.
Well, almost I'm locked over. In the room still right now, but hopefully I'll be getting out shortly.
Soon you'll be getting out. All right, let's start with some news that broke right before we started doing the show. AT&T announced in a statement that it is dropping its bid for T-Mobile. They will take a pre-tax accounting charge of $4 billion, the breakup fee that they agreed to pay Deutsche Telekom, if the acquisition fell through. They also, according to Ars Technica, are entering a mutually beneficial roaming agreement with Deutsche Telekom. So it's official. The deal is off.
Yeah, this is the $39 billion deal. But there were rumors before this that AT&T was going to try to do like some kind of joint venture with Deutsche Telekom, which is still possible. It just means this, like, well, how long has this been? Like 3 or 4 months now they've been trying to do this? The $39 billion deal, that's finally done. Now AT&T and the DOJ and the FCC can like get together for Christmas. Have a nice dinner because they're not fighting anymore.
Well, I was describing...
I have to say, I just saw someone tweet. I can't take credit for this, but it looks like calls aren't the only thing that AT&T is dropping today. So,
no.
I think it's important to keep in mind, too, that, I mean, ultimately, it's probably viewed as a good thing that the big bad merger isn't happening because the consolidation of these two wasn't necessarily seen as a positive thing for consumers. But at the end of the day, you know, in the immediate short term, no one's really winning either because, as you mentioned, Tom, AT&T is going to have to pay, you know, huge fees. At the end of the day, T-Mobile still doesn't really have any kind of solution in terms of their long-term evolution or 4G network and how they're going to build that out. And Sprint's probably going great. It's not working out now, but Sprint at the same time, as my colleague Ina Fried pointed out, has spent a lot of its political capital right now just battling this. And so they've spent a lot of money as well.
Sprint shares spiking about 7% in after-hours trading. AT&T shares slipped a little bit, just around 1%, so not a horrible punishment. Seems like the market is ambivalent about them dropping.
Or felt like this was inevitable anyway, not a big shock.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's probably it. Now, what's the best bet about what happens next? There's talk about a joint venture. Obviously, AT&T already has said they're in a roaming agreement with Deutsche Telekom, so they're going to get to use some of that spectrum they were trying to buy.
Is it worth $4 billion?
That's a good question, right? That seems to presage some sort of closer cooperation. It would be interesting if Deutsche Telekom and AT&T ran T-Mobile the way that Vodafone and Verizon run Verizon Wireless. Speechless, huh?
Bueller.
Well, the difference there, right, is that Vodafone and Verizon are you know an American company and a German or a European company. Running an American wireless network. So it's a precedent, right? You've got an American company and a European company running an American wireless network, but Verizon doesn't run a second wireless company next to Verizon Wireless. AT&T does.
Wasn't Dish talking about buying parts of T-Mobile if this thing didn't go through?
They said they were interested in it.
So now the door's open for that.
Yeah, any bets on whether Deutsche Telekom would be interested in that?
I think Deutsche Telekom is probably going to sell off parts of T-Mobile, just selling it for the parts at this point. Like, the spectrum for these guys, the brand for this thing, like maybe for an MVNO. I just don't think T-Mobile is going to continue, even with this $4 billion gain for them and the spectrum they'll have. It's just going to give them assets to sell off. I don't see it continuing much further for a much longer time.
AT&T has also seemed... when the merger was proposed for... many billions of dollars with a very hefty breakup fee. It all seemed like, okay, whether or not you're interested in this merger, AT&T is, and T-Mobile for that matter, are extremely confident this is all going to be pushed through. And it has seemed as this has all unfolded and almost nobody thought that the merger was a good idea. Some people did. That AT&T had its plan Bs and Cs in place. And this all sounds to me very strategic. You know, I don't exactly know what's coming next, but it seems like AT&T has got a plan in place. Like,
yeah,
you know,
it's not,
what?
It's not like they're flying blind here.
Yeah, we've withdrawn. We've got another idea.
Plan B, buy Sprint. That's going to be what they're going to do.
I
think at this point, the problem of Spectrum is something that's going to hit all the wireless companies, not just these two, not just T-Mobile, not just Sprint. I was speaking with Jeff Kagan. I don't know if you guys know him, but telecom analyst just a few weeks ago when there was some more news about the deal and more sort of blockage going on about the deal. And he said, look, more and more people are consuming lots and lots of data. They're going to expect faster networks. Everybody from teens to, you know, older consumers are just they're using smartphones. This is where we're going. They're using tablets. This is where we're going. And so at this point, I think that, you know, every telecom company, every wireless company has to have some sort of plan in place about how they're going to serve those needs. And so maybe Sarah's right. Maybe AT&T does have something else going on. Maybe it is, you know, some more of sharing of resources, greater joint venture with Deutsche Telekom. Who knows?
Well, that court date of January 19th is irrelevant now. That was when they would have to go back to defend the acquisition. So that's off the calendar. We're pretty much at AT&T's pleasure of when we find out what happens next in this story. So probably won't be until after the first of the year, unless they make another early morning holiday announcement. But I doubt that's going to happen.
They did sneak in the announcement after
for
trading
our sake,
closed.
Please wait, yeah, please AT&T.
All right, another big story that's just breaking here. The ITC has ruled on the Apple HTC patent dispute in favor of Apple.
Yes, back to the patent wars. So this was the ruling that was supposed to happen on Friday. The ITC moved it to today on Monday. So now, finally, we have a decision. The judge in the ITC ruled today that HTC is guilty of infringing Apple's patents and several devices. ITC also ordered a ban on the import of several HTC smartphones, although there's not really a definitive list of which phones are affected. Now, decisions, it's got like 60 days. They can be vetoed, but that's rarely used, apparently. And the ban wouldn't go into effect until April 19th. Now, Boy Genius Reports actually contacted HTC, and HTC gave them a response back. They said they were disappointed with the finding that they were violating two claims of a patent. We are well prepared for this decision, and our designers have created alternate solutions for this particular patent. So it looks like even if this ban does go into effect, HTC looks like they have a workaround.
Which is usually the case. You usually don't see a ban actually take products off the shelves. And it sounds like HTC is prepared. It's going to cost them some money, though.
Well, usually you'd think it'd be, okay, if they infringe on the patent, they have to pay a fee to Apple, license that patent, because they don't want to miss a beat selling their phones, right? But if they have a workaround, they just have to implement it, and it looks like it has to be via software.
So there you go. HTC is going to have a slightly different interface by April 19th.
There you go.
That's the upshot there.
Well, Samsung did
They're also still going to be, sorry to interrupt, Sarah. So I was going to say there, I think it's a very small note, but they'll also be able to import refurbished products, apparently, to satisfy claims on products. So if you have one of those naughty HTC phones that's infringing on Apple right now, and you've got a problem with it, apparently that can still be imported.
Ah, that's an interesting note. Thanks for that. A couple other patent wars notes. In a suit filed in Germany, Samsung charges Apple with violating a pair of patents relating to the implementation of WCDMA, that's 3G, and another two patents relating to smartphone utilities, one of which involves the displays of emoticons. So one would imagine it's the frowny, not the smiley.
We need an emoticons wars drop. Emoticon wars.
Just an angry...
Yes, an angry face.
Something
that's all it is.
Don't they know we've moved on to emojis anyway?
Yeah,
emoticons
seriously.
Are so 2008.
Where have they been? These people never go to Japan. British Telecom has filed suit against Google, arguing that the search giant's Android operating system infringes on six of its patents. The suit covers a variety of Google services, including Google Maps, Google Plus, Google Music, and more. This is a rush to get your lawsuit in before the Motorola acquisition goes through. And Google takes all those patents on board.
Yeah, just in time for the holidays. Here's a lawsuit, Google.
Merry Christmas, Google, from British Telecom. I guess it'd be Happy Christmas in that case. All right, let's move on to Schmidt, my chairman says. Eric Schmidt.
What now?
Talking to the Italian publication Corriere della Sera, said that his company will market a competitive tablet within the next 6 months. Here's the quote. Within the next 6 months, we plan to market a high-quality tablet. As with the smartphone market, you will see brutal competition between Apple and Google Android.
What does he have with the six-month mark?
That's what he said about televisions, too.
Yeah, he's obsessed with it. Does it seem far enough out so that he's like, I can get away with it?
Maybe they're all the same thing. The television is the tablet.
It's a really big tablet.
Yes.
Take that, Apple TV. We've got this giant one of our own.
It's sort of portable.
Yeah, I mean, I guess when you're Eric Schmidt, 6 months seems like forever.
Well, maybe Google's actually has some predefined, okay, in 6 months we're going to do this, that, and the other thing, and this is just the other thing. I mean, the quote is, this is a translated quote, plan to market a high-quality tablet. I'm just thinking that sounds like a Google-blessed kind of tablet, kind of like the Nexus phones. We'll probably see this whatever tablet this is on like the front page of Google, like we saw with the original Nexus, sell directly through Google as well, and just see that label everywhere. I mean, hopefully it won't have a skin either. That's probably what it would be, in my guess.
Well, then again, Google in the past, the PR team has said, listen. Okay, Eric Schmidt said what he said, but here's what's really going on. Let's dial it back a bit. They decided not to comment. So that doesn't mean that it's false or true. It just means that they're not exactly saying it's false. So who knows? Maybe we will say.
Google we'll say PR Google should have months. A standard press announcement that they can give out that's just them shaking their head.
Just a head shake.
Just move along,
I don't
people.
Know. He don't, says things. We, yeah, I have no idea.
Right.
Lost in translation.
Yeah. Lauren, do you have an idea? I mean, I saw so many headlines taking this, you know, into Google plans iPad killer and really stretching out. I mean, do you look at this and see anything other than Google plans to keep working on tablets?
No, and I think that Ayaz brought up a really good point. The key word there is market. I mean, they already have a ton of tablets out there because of the open nature of the Google Android operating system, and they're on, you know, they're not their own OEM. They're being made by other manufacturers. So maybe it's just a marketing push, in a sense, that they're going to keep pushing this and pushing this. Another thing to keep in mind, too, is that we may start to see more devices that are running the Google Android operating system that sort of have it hidden. I mean, you look at something maybe like Kindle Fire. Yeah. And things that are not overtly Google Android, where you're not actually seeing that little guy running around and you don't have very easy access to the Google Android marketplace. And maybe as Google is seeing that happen, they're starting to say, okay, we really need to get something out there that is Google branded. Don't know if that's means it's hardware or it's just a different take on the way that they're presenting the operating system on devices. So who knows?
Yeah, I think what got people so excited was we plan to market a high-quality tablet. If he had said, we're going to see lots of great Google tablets, nobody would have blinked an eye because Ice Cream Sandwich is out there on the phone and it's right. going to be available on the tablet. But it's this idea of Google marketing a singular tablet.
It also makes sense in light of Ice Cream Sandwich. I mean, if the applications that run on your Galaxy Nexus can run on a tablet now, the application market is much larger than with Honeycomb. I mean, that came out, the Zoom, everyone was excited about it, but there was like 16 applications at launch. It wasn't exactly a baked experience, but I think with Ice Cream Sandwich, this is like next year is finally the time they have a real chance of having the tablet market.
And I'm glad you brought up the Motorola Zoom as well, because let's not forget that had an initial $800 price point before they dropped it down to around $500. Right. And now, no, I don't know who in their right mind would pay that much for a tablet that's not an iPad. So,
yeah,
and that's not an endorsement of the iPad. I'm just saying, I mean, you know, right now it's the iPad or it's the Kindle Fire, which has a much lower price point.
$199, yeah, it's no comparison. Absolutely. All right, let's take a quick break and thank our sponsor, Ford, and voice-activated sync. We got a chance, actually, last week to go take some of the new Fords for a drive around the neighborhood. Take a look.
Hey, I'm Tom Merritt here with the 2012 Ford Focus to take a look at sync with Wi-Fi connectivity. You can turn this entire car into a rolling hotspot so all the passengers have Wi-Fi for all their different devices. Pretty cool stuff. So if you've got a BlackBerry phone, you can just actually tether your BlackBerry via Bluetooth, or you can get one of these wireless access cards from a carrier. Now, in some models, the USB port may be under the radio or in the glove box. In the 2012 Ford Focus, it's right here in the center armrest, and I'll just plug it right in. So now that we have wireless access, we have Wi-Fi available in the car for up to 5 devices. So Liz can use her tablet and just use her device. Everybody stays nice and quiet, and the driver can enjoy the ride. So that's a look at how Ford Sync with My Ford Touch featuring Wi-Fi connectivity works. It's available on the 2012 Ford Focus, and you can find out about all the Ford technologies at Ford.com/technology.
It's amazing how you got back here so quickly.
Yes,
it's almost like you're Superman.
It's all done in real time.
Yeah.
You teleporter.
Just take my jacket off right now. And
very good. Magic trick.
All right, time to check what's on the rumor mill. Wall Street Journal reporting that Apple is in negotiations with TV execs for something. It could be a TV prototype that they're discussing with them, an actual television like we've been hearing about. Could be just new services that might end up in the current Apple TV. There's talk of voice and movement-controlled interface, the ability for new devices to pick up a video stream where the user left off, so you could stop watching on your iPad, pick it up on the Apple TV where you left off. But most of the talks, top level, are about strategy. So they're about actually figuring out how they're going to get the TV video, what's going to happen to it, how the rights work. Apple's been doing that for a while, though, right?
Yeah, nothing about this seems so groundbreaking. I know that this rumor has been going on forever, but it's recently been rekindled. Ha ha ha. But that was the word I needed to use.
Yeah, I know. Whenever you use the word kindled now, it becomes a pun.
It becomes a joke.
No matter how you use it.
But when I read this Wall Street Journal article, nothing about it seemed like, wow, this is really right around the corner. This all sounds like we're still in strategy talks. This doesn't sound like something that's happening in the next 12 months to me.
Yeah, and with all the hype around this, it has to be something different than Netflix or Instant Prime, where you're like, oh, yeah, we have streaming. Great. I mean, everyone. There's a couple of competitors out there. Why doesn't Apple have this? I'm just thinking this has to be some kind of subscription payment where you can just put it down like a cable bill, put down $50 a month to mm-hmm. Apple, and you'll be able to stream like probably X amount of hours, I would imagine. Maybe even live content. Because I mean that you need some kind of differentiator here.
Do you think streaming? Because I don't think they're gonna do streaming. That seems against what they do. They want you to have to buy storage devices or use the cloud.
Right. I think they'd be wanting
to sell you individual episodes.
So you think it's more like the Amazon Cloud Player situation where you would buy an episode and be able to stream it from any Apple product?
That's my guess.
That was the big thing,
but
right?
But Apple already lets you buy individual episodes.
Yeah, but you can't store them in the cloud and you can't do this pickup.
It doesn't keep a library. You can't stream directly. I think you're technically downloading the file anyway. So they might be working on a deal with that because, I mean, otherwise, this should just be pretty slam dunk for them. Like, okay, look, whatever deal you have with Hulu, we want the same deal. Like, that's what they're probably looking for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems to me that the story highlights by my former colleagues at the Journal here who did a great job reporting it, but it really seems to highlight three things that we've all talked about before and we still don't really have the answer. One being whether or not it's just this idea of more convergence, right? So there's already AirPlay and there's already the capability to stream shows from an iOS device and then kind of send it to the television, right? And then there's Apple TV, which is a box right now that exists right now that is offering, you know, a sort of IPTV experience on TVs. And then there's this idea that we don't know if it's what Apple's working on, of an actual television with this idea of traditional, you know, cable distribution through that television and maybe with a bunch of bells and whistles added on, such as voice control or gesture control that maybe set it apart from TVs as we've known them. And I think that last part is what would be most interesting if that's what, in fact, Apple was working on.
Yeah, I agree. That this idea of having a television that's differentiated is what always dominates the debate, right? So it's voice-activated, like you say, or some kind of motion control. There's a really interesting story in the BBC today about all of these different motion-oriented control interfaces beyond Kinect. The one that they talked about the most was XTR 3D, being developed in Tel Aviv, that uses existing 2D cameras for 3D motion control. It can be installed into any consumer electronics device. So it could be in a phone. It can be in a laptop. In fact, you can use an existing phone or laptop by adding this software. You don't need to have a special camera. So that to me sounds like something Apple could use in its television. You just put one of the regular cameras that they have in the television. All of a sudden, you got motion control if they had something like this. Also, the New York Times reporting about wrist displays that connect wirelessly to a user's iPhone being tested on the Apple campus by Apple employees. It fits on the wrist, is controlled via Siri, and the idea is that it communicates with the phone because the phone is a computing device that's within a few feet of you all throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
I could also see them using the TV as a hub for that, where all of your connectivity, all of your media is on your iPhone or your iPad, and then you just sling it to your television. You just kind of toss it out there. In fact, in that BBC article, they mentioned that Apple has filed patents that allow users to touchlessly throw content from one device to another.
So what does the wrist little watch remote have to do with it? Talking to your wrist?
Yeah, so I mean, I guess you could just pull something up on your iCloud and then just throw it to the television.
I love that. That's better than the jawbone up already.
It's going to be a hard sell. I mean, a lot of companies...
That's not a low bar, Sarah. Sorry.
That's true.
I mean, this is a hard sell because, I mean, Motorola is trying this right now. They have the little Moto Active thing that pairs with your phone. You have access to your Android kind of contact stuff on your wrist. I mean, unless this thing is like really low cost, like, I mean, unless it's... Or it's phenomenal looking. Like, it's one continuous... You know, display that actually has multi-touch or something. Maybe. I'm just having a hard time picturing something like that to be sold to somebody at like a price mm-hmm. of what, like $250 that goes with your iPhone. I mean, if this thing doesn't have its own function on its own by itself, I just don't know how it would work. I mean,
no, people will never pay crazy prices for accessories like a cover that's one single piece of leather that you throw on top of an iPad.
No, they will never
buy a
smart cover.
It's a smart cover. It's a robot.
It also cleans the iPad. Don't forget the extra.
That's right. It cleans while it rests.
It cleans the grease.
I don't know if you guys saw a couple years ago, there was a student at Carnegie Mellon University who had developed something called SkinPut. He either received funding from Microsoft or had partnered with Microsoft to develop it. But it was truly wearable technology in the sense that he was projecting a keypad onto his arm and was pressing his arm to send signals to a central computer system. So when I think of wearable technology, I mean, I think of that sort of thing. Having like an accessory or an extra band on you so that your smartphone is, you know, instead of like being in your pocket for 18 hours a day, is now just on your wrist. To me, doesn't seem like it's that different.
I think the killer thing.
Maybe I'm just not understanding the story entirely. But
I think the killer thing about the wristband is it has a microphone, so you can just simply call up Siri to do everything from there, and it's always connected to every single device you have. Because I mean, Apple's experimented with this with the Shuffle a long time ago, and they got no buttons. Just put the Shuffle on a wrist. How hard is that?
Right.
The old one. And actually be able to call up the voice control that communicates with your phone, Apple TV, Mac.
And now the Nano, which has a touchscreen, has an input, but there's no buttons. It's just a touchscreen your wrist. Same. Wearable computing is, I don't think you're misunderstanding the story at all. Wearable computing is becoming kind of the next thing along with motion control. Those are kind of two competing trends that can feed off each other. But in these stories that I was reading today, it noted that Apple had hired Richard Duvall in March 2010 to be the senior prototype scientist. So they obviously were working on wearable computing. I think we see some of the result of that in the iPod Nano. But Duvall was hired away by Google in June of this year to work on similar wearable computing ideas in the Google X Labs. So unless Larry Page has killed it without us knowing it, we could probably expect to see some sort of wearable initiative coming out of Google. We should save some of this for our predictions episode. But it's all part of the rumor mill. You can never be wrong. That's the beauty of it. Let's finish up with a story about the Galaxy Nexus. Jason, you were able to use it all weekend long. There have been reports of signal issues, both on the LTE performance and on the calling performance, as well as some problems with the touchscreen. Did you experience any of those?
Oh, I absolutely did. It was really frustrating because at the beginning of the weekend, and I was kind of tweeting it out on on Twitter and on Google Plus, throwing it out there to see if other people were experiencing it too. But I mean, my house gets excellent 4G coverage. It has with every 4G device that I've used or tested in my house. And it's rare that this thing ever connects to 4G in my house, if at all. And if it does, and then later it doesn't, the switch over from 4G to 3G often means there are large gaps of no data whatsoever. So if I want to get anything on the phone, I have to switch to Wi-Fi. It was a total headache. And I thought that maybe it was just my device, but it sounds like it's something bigger.
Yeah, the Verizon Wireless Support Twitter account today reported that the signal issues are, quote, currently being investigated. And they said a software update is in the works. So at least one element of Verizon Wireless acknowledging that issue.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if this is the reason why it was delayed so much, or like it was rumored to be like on the 9th and then slipped to, I think, the 16th to actually arrive. Mm-hmm. Maybe they were working on this for a while and they just like, okay, look, we have to get this phone out while we still can.
Yeah. I mean, Eileen has the phone as well. She's experienced none of these issues.
Oh, yeah. She was raving about it all weekend.
Totally.
Yeah, the battery life in particular.
Yeah, and the speed. Which is mostly LTE, but we had it in San Rafael, you know, out in Marin County, in the sticks. We had the LTE, as we call it, the LTE.
Like the Sizzler.
Because we're rural.
Got you some LTE, did you?
Got some of that LTE. Serve it all up. All right. Lauren, any thoughts on the Nexus before we move on?
No, it doesn't sound like it's a really widespread problem right now. If it does become a widespread problem, then it might be a little bit of a black eye for Verizon as they try to deploy the LTE. And of course, they've always touted their service over all of the problems that consumers have had with AT&T. So hopefully for them, it doesn't turn into something more widespread. But right now, it seems like it's just some customers.
Yeah, it's just sporadic. Something hopefully could be fixed with a firmware update, which is what it sounds like they're working on. Mm-hmm. Let's move on to the news fuse. The Bradley Manning case continues, and Special Agent David Shaver said he found over 10,000 diplomatic cables on Manning's Army computer. That made headlines over the weekend. However, today, under cross-examination, Shaver also admitted that none of those cables found matched the ones released by WikiLeaks. Investigators did find chat logs on Manning's computers with the user identified as Julian Assange, if that's his real name, and they also found Assange's Icelandic phone number.
Google introduced some new Google Plus features today and make a lot of people happy. Notifications are going to have more information with a preview of comments, so you have a little bit of context right away. Pages can be administrated by up to 50 people instead of just one.
Nice.
Hey. Yeah, I know that makes a lot of people happy. And most importantly, you're going to have greater control over what shows up in your mainstream, which is something that a lot of people complained about before. You can dial how much information shows up from each circle. So if you've got really good friends, maybe you want to see every single update. Maybe there's a group of photography experts that you like, and you can choose to see those a little bit less frequently. So a lot more of kind of that smart list feature that Facebook's been playing around with for a while.
I'm curious how that's going to work in reality.
It's a little slider. So you can go, always show me these posts. I never see this post in my mainstream.
It's the sometimes.
You can always switch your circles. You know, you can always go back to that.
Yeah, that's true.
First promise back in September, Samsung launched its 3D YouTube app for its line of smart TVs. The catalog's a little sparse at 8,000 videos, but 3D YouTube content is available in Japan, the UK, and North America. But the Samsung app should work worldwide, so we'll see how that resolves.
Over at Reddit, user Sipowitz found that when a Kindle Fire user tries to reach Google's official Android market, the Fire redirects to Amazon's App Store for Android. The culprit is an APK file called Market Intent Proxy, which disables the Silk. If you disable the Silk Cloud proxy, it doesn't undo that redirection. According to XDA developer forum member FoxDog66, the fix is to rename the APK to MarketIntentProxy.apk.bak, just to make it a backup file.
Saudi Prince Al-Waleed bin Talal has announced he's purchased quite a big stake in Twitter, $300 million, in fact. Fortune reports that the prince purchased shares from existing insiders, which means that Twitter didn't actually raise any new money. And TechCrunch is reporting that the investment was part of the previously announced $800 million financing Twitter closed last September. At least that's according to a source with direct knowledge of the deal, as they tend to
So have. It looks like nothing really changed. It just happened a while ago.
It's just announced. Now we know where some of the money came from.
There we go. Microsoft unveiled a new login system for Windows 8 that lets the user place an image on the screen and create a gesture-based password based on that picture. So instead of moving around from like dot to dot on an Android lock screen, you could move like from a family picture from like nose to nose. It's kind of neat. The picture-based login won't replace text-based passwords, just another option for the user.
Just in time for the holidays, Seagate and Western Digital have announced new warranty periods. Starting in 2012, Seagate drives like the Momentus XT and the Barracuda XT will have a 3-year warranty instead of a 5-year warranty.
That's fuzzy math, Grinch.
Western Digital's Caviar Blue and Green drives also drop to a 2-year warranty, down from 3.
According to metric company AppData, the Android version of the Facebook app has 1.2 million more daily users than the iOS version. Now, this is the first time the Android apps come out on top, but that's quite a bit more on top. On a side note, Facebook updated its iPhone app to include timelines, although the iPad app update is still upcoming. They won't have timelines on the iPad yet.
Unless you go to, I guess, m.facebook.com. The court battle of Novell and Microsoft is over, and it ended with a hung jury. Jurors could not come to a consensus, but there was a vote. It was 11-1 in favor of Novell. Now, Novell's attorney, Jim Lundberg, said the company will likely seek a retrial.
So if you're nostalgic for those old-fashioned days of Bill Gates at a witness stand and
might happen again.
Word perfect, this trial is going to keep going for you.
If you're nostalgic for us covering it the first time,
let's check the randomizer. PC World has a story. 3 in 5 workers yell at their computers. The study was released Monday by TrackVia, which helps business users build their own software applications in the cloud. As you said you found this surprising.
I was surprised that it wasn't 5 out of 5. Because, I mean, I don't know who these two people are with a lot of self-control, but I know maybe it was just at work. I know I yell at my tech at home, too. Like, this should work. Why doesn't this work? And then I blame the machine.
I'm kind of curious how the sampling was done and whether it was that those surveyed were admitting that they do that or whether it was observations from coworkers.
Maybe
people are not being entirely honest about how much rage they have at their computers at work. Whereas if it was something that other employees are observing, it might be 4 out of 5, might be 5.
This is exactly why voice control is the future. Because sometimes you have the trackpad. So I just want to be able to say pair trackpad with computer. Just do it.
Oh, like, play with Siri for just a few minutes and you'll be screaming at her in no time.
Screaming at Siri, huh?
That's going to be an update, though, that the screams will be able to be parsed out, too.
And Siri will be like, you need to calm down.
If that's actually your job is to talk to the computer, you'll yell quickly enough. No! That's not what I meant.
Apparently,
stop!
A big part of the problem is the software. 18% of TrackVia survey respondents said they've actually wanted to quit their jobs because of software frustration. And another 17% said they'd consider quitting because they lacked the right software to do their jobs.
I just had an IE6 flash in my head. It's like,
yeah.
It's the wrong software.
I want to know how many people have wanted to quit their job because they were forced to use IE6.
There's a lot of enterprise apps use IE6 exclusively, and that's we've gotten calls about that.
All right, let's check what's at the calendar.
Oh, it's good to be back for the calendar.
Welcome back, Sarah.
Thank you. Google's improving ice cream sandwich with version 4.0.3, better graphics, database, spell checking, and Bluetooth, as well as some other items coming in the weeks ahead, maybe by Christmas. Maybe not. House of Representatives has delayed taking action on SOPA until December 21st. You still have time to write your congressperson. Are you traveling in the U.S. this holiday season? Chances are yes, and chances are you might be kind of bummed about that. It's a big hassle. Well, Skype wants to ease your pain just a little bit with free Skype Wi-Fi through the holidays. So if you're delayed at the airport for 6 hours, say, you can at least video chat with the people you wanted to hang out with by the fire.
Yeah. And you could have a virtual file on your iPad.
Exactly. A Yule log on your other device. You can make it work. It'll be just like Christmas. Star Wars The Old Republic will launch tomorrow, December 20th, in North America.
Played it all weekend because I got the early access.
And?
So fun.
Really?
Really fun. Yeah. Play Smuggler.
Okay. You heard it here. Play Smuggler from Tom Merritt. Star Wars The Old Republic. Get it tomorrow. Protect IP, that's the Senate version of SOPA, has been scheduled for a vote at 2:15 p.m. Eastern Time Tuesday, January 24th. The vote is whether or not to put a time frame on a debate of the bill, an attempt to prevent Senator Ron Wyden's threatened filibuster. And finally, UK's Supreme Court will hear Julian Assange's extradition appeal in February 2012, which is not very far away at all.
All right, time to check what's incoming. Incoming message. We got a voicemail, actually. 260-TNT-SHOW is our phone number. This one comes from Derek in Round Rock, Texas, where Nolan Ryan has a minor league baseball team. And Derek has an idea for copyright holders.
Hey, this is Derek in Round Rock, Texas. Here's an idea for people who don't like copyrighted material on YouTube, etc. Instead of automatically taking the material down, maybe the various publishers and copyright holders could instead require that when copyrighted material is detected, that a pop-up appear over the screen of the displayed material, showing people where they can link to purchase said material. So then it essentially becomes free advertising, and it's a win-win. That's it. Thanks. Bye.
Not sure it's a win for a viewer of the video.
Right. I mean, it definitely doesn't address the question of what happens if you've got a legitimate use that is misidentified. But leaving that aside for the moment, YouTube already does something similar to this. They allow copyright holders to claim a video that has been uploaded as their own, and then they control the advertisements on it. They can make money off it. They could put what he's talking about.
On the win-win aspect, at least the video's not taken down. Like, it's still up there. The links might still work. You're not worried about, oh, you have to find this thing in reverse or something.
Right.
At least the copyright holder's got some kind of control over it.
So Derek gets a perfectly reasonable suggestion, and it's being done, and companies still want to take things down off of the YouTubes at certain times. So, I don't know. Lauren, do you have any better ideas of how we could deal with this?
No, but I do disagree with Sarah slightly in that I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing if something like this were used more frequently. I don't think it's a bad thing for the video watcher. Let's say someone was trying to look for a Saturday Night Live clip and went to YouTube, and then some sort of overlay came up that automatically directed them to Hulu or to the correct portal or something like that. As opposed to then having to sort of poke around to find what you're looking for through another portal, I think that could be useful in terms of the real monetization that's going to happen from those kinds of overlays. Nice idea, but I don't know if that's really going to happen.
Kind of depends on how it's done, whether it's an annoyance or a service. It could go either way. James in Detroit says, we've been talking a lot about the possibility of banning cell phones while driving. He says, I'm 26 and have been a truck driver for 4 years now with a major over-the-road company, and I'm here to tell you this has already happened. In January 2011, the Department of Transportation banned all texting while driving in a commercial motor vehicle, and sometime at the end of November, it was announced that all phone use is banned in a commercial motor vehicle. I am unsure if this includes hands-free or not. I read in one place that it does, another said it doesn't, and another said you can, but only if the phone is within reach while still sitting back. As a truck driver, I can tell you that so far, no one is following it, and it's hard to enforce because the police can't normally see what we're doing. Now, some may say this is good, but truck drivers are some of the best drivers out there. Most truck accidents are either not our fault or the driver had less than a year of experience. As comparison, most people average 13,000 miles a year. We average 100,000 miles a year. Also, please be nice to truckers. Our job sucks enough already.
Aww, James
from Detroit.
We'll be nice to your truckers.
Yeah, definitely be nice. We have a lot of truckers in the audience because they're big podcast listeners.
Absolutely.
Thanks, James, for writing in about the DOT ban. I did not realize that.
Also interesting that I guess because truck drivers indeed are up so high, it would be harder for anyone to see whether they were on a phone or not.
Yeah.
I think that they need Bluetooth capability. I think they need really high-tech dashboards in there so they can just talk hands-free all they want.
Yeah, a lot of them do. A lot of them have, like, laptops with maps and Bluetooth, and, like, some of the highest-tech people for in-cabin tech that I know of are truck drivers.
They've sent in some cool pictures, too, of their cabs. Next email from Dwayne in New York City. I'll preface my comment, he says, with saying, I agree that the Universal Music Group takedown of the TNT video on YouTube was an unjustified action and casualty of the constant battle of copyright protection. However, it's ironic that TNT says that somebody was interfering with the distribution of your show's content and intellectual property, because isn't that kind of the same argument Universal could make? Aren't pirates interfering with the distribution control that the RIAA and MPAA want to have over how their content gets to the public? We could stop trying to have a discussion about good actors and bad actors in this debate, try to come up with a solution for copyright protection that protects content right holders and the distribution of media, but doesn't interfere with legitimate end-user access.
Bravo, Dwayne. It's a fine point he's trying to make here, that it's all about access. I think Neelai Patel was actually making this on This Week in Tech yesterday. Our objection to the takedown of Tech News Today off YouTube was a speech objection. We were making fair use for commentary, and that fair use defense wasn't respected. Now, that's a problem with the way the DMCA is implemented. But I think when you get down to it, whether you agree with Dwayne's way of getting there or not, we should be having a discussion about how to protect the rights of intellectual copyright right holders and access to the media, because it's an entirely different world we're living in, and that's been the problem. Is we've been trying to take this old way of viewing media and apply it to digital, and it causes all of these weird things that where we're jumping through hoops and stuff, you know, safe harbor and pretending like there's locks on things that there really aren't locks on. And, you know, I'm not saying that I have the answer right off the top of my head either, but I agree with Dwayne's conclusion here, which is we need to treat this as user access. And I don't think digital rights management is the way to do it. I don't think, you know, old fashioned copyright, as in treating copies as individual things, is the right way. We just need an entirely new way of conceiving of it.
I just completely agree with you. I mean, I agree with you on this one because I don't have anything to add because this is just kind of this bizarre thing. Viewers want to watch things and there should be a way for them to do it. And it's and things get mucked up so easily.
All right. Anything?
What he said.
Sarah, Lauren, either one?
No, I think you guys covered it.
All right.
It's messy.
Mm-hmm. All right, that's it for this edition of Tech News Today. Don't forget, you can submit stories for our consideration. We love getting the submissions at the subreddit, technewstoday.reddit.com. All kinds of folks in there giving us story ideas. But just as important, voting on the stories up or down, whether they should be covered or not, helps us put together our lineup every day. And Lauren Good, thank you so much for joining us. A pleasure to have you on the show. We'd love to have you back anytime.
Thank you. I'd love to come back on. Thanks for having me.
Let folks know where they can find your work online.
Allthingsd.com.
You threw a curveball there. What?
Is this a trick question?
No, I didn't know. What if you website
had a,
again?
I didn't know if you had a Twitter address you wanted to throw in there or anything else like that.
Allthingsd.com is the website, and my Twitter address is @LaurenGood, and that's good with an E.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for watching or listening. You can find us on the web, twit.tv/TNT. You can email us, TNT@twit.tv, or give us a call. Our phone number is 260-TNT-SHOW. Becky Worley is in the house tomorrow. We'll see you then.